We are squarely into the season of spring. And if you haven't already participated in the annual domestic tradition of spring cleaning, that's okay. There's still time. And we've got some advice coming up for you. And this year, there's an added wrinkle of inflation, which might make some of us reluctant to get rid of stuff we might otherwise want to upgrade or replace. Our next guest is here with some helpful suggestions. Christine Whelan is a clinical professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, where she teaches classes on happiness and well-being. She's also the founding director of the Money, Relationships, and Equality Initiative. Christine, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, I know it can vary from year to year. In general, do you see yourself as a spring cleaning kind of person, Christine?
I am indeed. You know, they say that if you organize just one drawer, you can organize the world. And quite frankly, for me, it's true. I really do love organizing.
Let's talk about that small idea, because if I go into, say, my basement and I look at the whole basement and I'm going to do a cleaning of this whole area, forget about it. I'm going to get demoralized. Nothing's going to happen. If I pick this corner or this shelf, I can get something done. Can you talk about the value of tackling that little thing, at least to start?
There's a lot of research that tells us that if you want to do something big, you know, just like that old phrase, if you want to eat an elephant, one bite at a time. Well, if you want to do that spring cleaning, I know nobody wants to eat an elephant. But if instead, if you want to clean that basement, you got to clean it one shelf at a time, right? And so the research suggests that when you do something small and you complete it, it gives you a sense of accomplishment and boosts your sense of self-efficacy, the idea that you can accomplish something even bigger. And so those small steps really take a daunting task and hopefully take it into a kind of a pleasurable exploration of what possibilities you could have if you just tackle that one small thing.
Before we dig into some of the hows and whys of spring cleaning a little more, let's talk about, you know, maybe some unusual circumstances. We've got inflation here. You know, sometimes if you want to get rid of stuff, you're not planning to replace it. But sometimes you are, and we might worry, yeah, those inflation numbers are down a little, but stuff still seems to cost a little more. How do you factor that in our decisions of whether and what to get rid of?
Well, inflation has hit us in different places, depending on what room of the house you're looking at. So inflation's really hit hard in terms of food prices and potentially a little bit less so in terms of clothing prices. But if we're spending a lot more of our budget feeding the family, then the idea of buying new clothes just to keep up with the trends may seem a little unnecessary. So then as we're looking at our overstuffed closets, we might say, gosh, you know, should I not be giving away things? Should I not be donating? Should I instead hold on to things? Rather than that, it's probably a good idea to still do that spring cleaning anyway, and know that we don't, in fact, need to have closets chock full of a lot of this stuff. And we may have some mental gain in terms of our stress levels and our decision making getting ready in the morning if we have fewer choices to make.
And you shared the phrase with us before the interview of a passive expenditure related to having too much stuff. What do we mean by that?
Oh, goodness. So many millions of Americans have all sorts of passive expenditures in terms of how we store our stuff. It's just shocking how many of us rent storage units that we never visit, that in fact, we may not even know what's in them as a way to store stuff. Or those of us who don't even get to park our cars in our garages because we have them all chock full of things. And these actually can take a real toll on us. So rather than accumulating more things, especially paying for the accumulation of things, one way that we can think about spring cleaning is to say, can I clean out that storage unit so I can save $80 to $100 a month on it? Or perhaps even looking at your subscriptions. You know, sometimes there are all these passive drains on our bank account, whether it is a streaming service that we don't use, or a magazine that we don't even realize we can still subscribe to. So looking through those kind of passive spending is a way to spring clean our bank account as well as spring clean our stuff.
Christine Whelan is with us from the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison talking about spring cleaning. Christine, I can think of a lot of reasons looking at our stuff why we wouldn't get rid of things, because I have said these things out loud. Here's one. I might need that. And so, and I'm proud of myself. I've gone from like three bags of random wires down to one. How do we overcome that? Well, it could potentially be useful at some point in the future. Who knows?
Well, it's challenging because sometimes we actually might need it. Mm-hmm. And the idea of having to go out and buy something again after we have gotten rid of it, oh, that's a punch in the gut.
Right.
However, you can also usually borrow it, and there are other ways forward. Now, the challenge is that when we have something that is a thing on the shelf at the store, when we buy it, it becomes potentially part of our history. We remember the time that we bought it, potentially with a loved one. We have a story behind it. And then things have emotional resonance. Or perhaps things were purchased aspirationally. We wanted to be the kind of person that would use this thing, and to get rid of it, ooh, that can be a bit of an indictment about who we actually are. So things really do have stories behind them, and letting go of some of those stories and the psychological weight can be something that's kind of the tough part about spring cleaning.
Yeah, what do we do about that? Because I've had that one too.
Yeah, well, so you think you've got to ask yourself some questions about that. For example, when I see a bunch of stuff that I don't use that I feel like I should use, it doesn't make me feel good. If I can get rid of that stuff, give it away to somebody who will use it, then I actually feel lighter. I don't have that clutter and those sort of psychological demands on me when I look into a particular room. Now, that's me personally, but let's take my father. He always wanted to keep everything because you never know when you'll need it. And he prided himself on being able to find it. My mother, of course, would try to throw out everything out from under him. So we all have our stories around these things. And there's a lot of history that we may have to look at too.
Now, we might be in a situation where we're out of our depth. We can't overcome some of the psychology of it there, or maybe we're cleaning up the stuff that a loved one left behind, or, you know, we've just saved too much stuff. It's out of hand. When do we turn to an outside party, a third party, to maybe help us out there?
If you're feeling overwhelmed, if this is stressing you out, certainly there are people who can help. You can ask a friend or a relative to help you, or you can find one of the many professionals out there who will help you do some organizing. So it is something that we shouldn't be afraid to talk about, because we do, as a society, have a lot of stuff. And while that can be a blessing, it also can get overwhelming. And new beginnings this time of year, it might be a new beginning to start a little bit lighter as we go forward into summer.
You know, it's they call it spring cleaning. I kind of, honestly, I do little bits and pieces as I get motivated any time of year. Is there something magical or special about picking that season and, you know, the season of renewal and whatnot to tackle these kind of projects?
Well, historically, this was a time when we would open all the windows after winter and sweep the soot out after our fires that kept us warm all winter long. So that's where this came from. Now, hopefully, we don't have as much soot dust in our house, but we still do have the idea of letting some fresh air in. And as we see the trees beginning to bloom, new beginnings are really in the air. And as a society, we very much like new beginnings. We want to embrace them. And that is a sign of hope. And we don't want to lose that. So let's be a hopeful spring cleaner and really bring in the new.
I want to spend some time on a topic. Again, you let our producer know about the idea of consuming happiness. What do you mean by that? How does it affect us?
So I teach a class called Consuming Happiness at the University of Wisconsin at Madison in the School of Human Ecology. And it's about how we use our limited resources of time and money and environmental resources to maximize our well-being. And, you know, you're having your member drive right now, and this is such a prime example of consuming happiness, because I define thrift in the modern sense as using your limited resources to maximize your well-being and keeping with your values, but not just for yourself, but for the social good. So the idea of pro-social spending in a thrifty way to benefit others, you know, that's kind of public radio, and that's consuming happiness in my book.
Yeah, I think people might hear a phrase consuming happiness and have a negative response like, wait, consumption, isn't that supposed to be kind of bad? But if we do it thoughtfully, it sounds like we can get more value out of it.
Well, we're all consumers. And, you know, we have this idea you can't buy happiness. And what I like to say is, well, you can if you spend your money right, but it's not on things. Rather, it's on experiences and things that you can, pro-social experiences you can share with others, really building relationships, doing things in keeping with your values. So it's a really fun class that is incredibly popular. It's sort of known as the happy class. And since we're all consumers, thinking about how to do this consciously, ethically, and in keeping with our values is something that I think is really important for the next generation to learn.
Christine, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you. Great to be on, as always.
That's Christine Whelan, clinical professor in the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison. She's with us today to talk about spring cleaning, how inflation can factor in, and how even a little bit of cleaning can bring us some joy.